The natural life, you know, it can be all-consuming. And when it gets like that, it's like a curtain. You become less and less aware of the spirit realm. And actually what the Lord always wants to do is pull that curtain back so that you see the spirit realm is always real. God is always real, always has been, always will be. But we need to see him and become more aware of who he is. Okay, well, last week we heard the word of the Lord, and really that word that Pastor Judith brought was to get us to stop looking at ourselves so much, really. Stop looking inward and start looking out. Stop being so focused on our own lives. And to remember, actually, the whole purpose of our being here is to reach out to others. And that as we do that, as we reach out to others, God will fix us. You know, those things in your life that concern you, as you reach out to others and give, he'll perfect those things that concern you. And my goal really today is to bring some spiritual understanding on how we can do that. Again, Pastor Judith shared a testimony, if you remember, about witnessing to her hairdresser and how her hairdresser had back pain. And just there and then, sitting in the chair in the salon, she prayed for her that she would be healed. And the hairdresser went away, came back, and actually she said, "How are you? You know, how's your back?" And the girl said, "Oh my goodness, that's spooky. The pain's gone." And she experienced there and then in the hairdressers, the power of God meet her at her point of need. And you know, non-Christians need that. They need to experience the power of God, because when they experience the power of God, they can't deny it. Other people have their testimonies. It's great to give testimony. But when they personally experience the power of God, it's a wake-up call. Suddenly they realize this God people talk about, he is real. Spooky, you know. But another dimension of God and the presence of God that gets their attention is the wisdom of God. And that's what I want to speak about this morning, the wisdom of God. Just say to the person next to you, "I really need the wisdom of God." There was an advert years ago, and I'm sure some of you here will remember it. It was by the credit card company, the American Express, and the whole kind of catchphrase was, "Don't leave home without it." Just raise your hand if you remember that. Yeah, apparently it became one of the best catchphrases in advertising. And we need to apply that to the word of God. Don't leave home without it. You know, don't step out of your house into your day without the wisdom of God, his thoughts. Seeing from his perspective. Those two things will mean that the wisdom of God will operate in your life. Having his thoughts, but not just having his thoughts, seeing your life from his perspective. And I want to identify four cornerstones of thought that our lives really need to be built on. And the first one is that God is good. The second one, I am significant. The third one, nothing is impossible with him. And finally, number four, every battle I face is from a position of victory. There are four key ways of thinking that if they become your personal conviction, they will change the way you do life. They will change your days. I mean, to be honest, it cheers me up just kind of seeing that list. I feel better even just looking at that. I don't know about you. But that's a perspective that we need to think from. God is good. Whatever you face in life, God is good. I'm significant. Nothing is impossible with him, and every battle that I face, I'm not coming at it from defeat, trying to get victory. In other words, I'm not fighting like this. I'm fighting like that. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. I already have victory. My fight is like that, from victory. Anyway, that's a kind of bonus slide this morning, because the core of the message that I want to speak on is how really the wisdom of God to us attracts the world. Now, do you remember the amazing story of Solomon? Solomon, you know, King David's son, he didn't ask for wisdom. I want you to turn, we're going to read it together. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 5. We'll start with verse 5. And it says, "At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, 'Ask, what shall I give you?'" What a great thing to hear from the Lord. "Ask me, what do you want?" "And Solomon said, 'You've shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with you. You've continued this great kindness for him, and you've given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. Now, O Lord, my God, you've made your servant king instead of my father David. But I am a little child. I don't know how to go out or how to come in. I love that. Like, I don't even know what I'm doing. Suddenly I'm king of all this lot. I don't know how to go out or come in. I don't even know how to, you know, do anything in this palace. Verse 8, and your servant is in the midst of your people whom you've chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, because you've asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked for riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, you've asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I've given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. Solomon. Actually, another translation says, Solomon asked for an understanding mind and a hearing heart. He asked for a hearing heart. God interpreted that request and gave him wisdom. Solomon asked for a hearing heart or a hearing ear. God gave him wisdom. So wisdom actually means having a hearing heart. Wisdom means having a hearing heart. It's not common sense. There's a scripture in 1 Corinthians that says the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. It's not good logic even. It's not that logic and, you know, common sense are necessarily wrong. It's not that we have to throw them out of the window. But it's that we don't exalt them over the wisdom of God. We need to apply common sense. But we don't apply common sense and ignore the voice of God. You know, we figure things out. We need to use the brain God's given us. But then we go to the Lord and say, Lord, what are you saying about this? This is how I see it. How do you see it? Really, what should I do? Like Solomon, I don't know how to go out or come in. What should I do? So it's not fine sounding words. Not convincing arguments according to the principles of this world. Having wisdom depends on hearing God. Having wisdom depends on hearing God. Just say that to the person next to you. Having wisdom depends on hearing God. Now the whole of Proverbs, every chapter is about wisdom. But there are a couple of chapters that really are kind of dedicated to wisdom. Proverbs 8 is one of them. And in the end it says, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates. Whoever finds me finds life. And favor, obtains favor from the Lord. We can't assume we have wisdom unless we hear the Lord. And we can't assume we have wisdom because the things he told us years ago. We got to watch daily at his gates. Listen daily. Lord, what are you saying? Right here, right now, into this situation, what are you saying? Because he has the answer for everything. Every problem under the sun, really. And sometimes, I'm sure you'll have found this, he gives you the answer before you've even figured out there's a problem. Do you know what I mean? Who here, just raise your hand, if you know that the Lord has saved you from some stuff because you've listened to his voice. You know, that might be a decision at work, a decision in the home, a wrong relationship, a wrong purchase. I'm sure that I am not the only one that has a couple of things hanging in my wardrobe that I never should have bought because I didn't really hear the Lord on it. You know, raise your hand if that's you. Let's be honest. You know, he saves us from stuff. The little things, but also the bigger, more important things as well, because he sees into the future. I find that amazing. God sees into the future and he wants to protect us really from harm. Guide our feet, as scripture says, into the way of peace. Just think, there's a way of peace for you. There's a way through life which means your soul will remain in peace. And it happens as we tune in to what he's saying. I think it's amazing. I love to think that God sees into the future. Just phenomenal. He knows about every problem you're going to have in the future. He knows about it already. He wants to forewarn you. He actually doesn't want you to encounter the difficulties and the tensions, the days of adversity, as scripture calls it. He doesn't want you to experience that. He wants to warn you. And every problem in the world, he knows how to solve it beforehand. He knows how to solve the problems in the council. He knows how to solve problems in schools, in the hospitals, in government, in business. The government don't have the answers. We know that, really, don't we? A lot of the time, they just kind of go around in circles. Bless them, and we need to pray for them, scripture says. They don't have the money. There's all sorts of debt. They're trying through their austerity thing to sort it out, but they don't know what to do. And, you know, God has the wisdom to know how to sort our economy out. Yes. Just think of it, from the micro, the little things, right up until the bigger things, he knows how to solve the problems. And really, how to change things around so that suddenly they begin to work. You know, the Red Sea, where there was no way, he made a way. When things look impossible, he can make a way. And so the world need his wisdom. We, the church, need his wisdom. But my goodness, the world needs the wisdom of God. And it comes to us. It needs to come to us, and it needs to come through us. We need to be that channel. And he wants his children. If you think of it, how many Christians there are on this planet. He wants every Christian in the world, really, to have that hearing ear, listening to his voice, and saying, "Eureka, I've got it. I know what I need to do. I know what we need to do at work. We need to do this. Let's do this. Let's try doing that. Let's swap things around and try doing this. Stop doing that." Boom. Light in the darkness. It's like somebody turns a switch on. Suddenly things start to work. Money's released. Conflict is resolved. Children start behaving in the home. You know, the world needs the wisdom of God. One of the names of Jesus in the Old Testament, in the book of Haggai, he's called the Desire of the Nations. It says people will come to the Desire of the Nations. And I love that name, because although the world don't realize it, he is the one that they are longing for. You know, the world really is crying out for something, but they don't know what it is. They can't put their finger on it. They can't put words to it. They just know something's not quite right. On the inside, there's like a dis-ease, an uncomfortableness, a kind of a longing, really. And I don't know who it was that first said it, but, you know, I'm sure all of us here will have heard that quote. "Inside every human being is a God-shaped hole." And I firmly believe that, because we are designed to be in relationship with our Creator. "Inside every human being is a God-shaped hole. And whether they know it or not, it's true. God has put eternity into our hearts. Every human being out there doing their shopping this Sunday morning, washing their cars, doing their gardening, put their Sunday roast on, there's a God-shaped hole. God set eternity in their hearts. It's a longing for something more, something greater than themselves." And when we talk to them about Jesus, often their thoughts go to religion and the negative kind of way that Christianity is displayed through the media. It really grates on me the way I see, you know, even in all sorts of things, in dramas, you know, the kind of vicar or the Christian in the community. You know, it puts a negative slant on them. You know, it makes them kind of look like idiots, to be honest. And so they think, "I don't need that. I don't want to be like that. I don't want that." You know, and it's our job to show them that Jesus is absolutely relevant, absolutely essential to their everyday lives, because he knows how to solve everything. People don't know their need of salvation, do they? They just don't. And, you know, John 3 says, until you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. That curtain is there. But they do know they've got a pain in their back. They do know about the problem with their kids, tension in a relationship. And when Jesus walked around Israel, he met those immediate needs, those obvious needs. He got their attention through meeting what they thought was their need, so that then he could show them their real need, which was eternity. He met their immediate needs so that he got their ear and he could tell them about the kingdom of God. And a lot of people will admit they don't know what to do. I lose count of the number of times I hear people say, I just don't know what to do. I've run out of ideas. I don't know how to approach that. I'm short of wisdom. We need to be so tuned in to the voice of God, we can give his wisdom and say, do you know, have you thought about doing that? Have you considered, tried doing that? We're in such a blessed position, you and I. We have access to God. You know, he's called the immortal, invisible, the only wise God. There are plenty of other gods out there, but he's the only wise one. The only one who will lead us into freedom and every good thing. Colossians 2 verse 3, I think we've got a scripture for that, says, in him, Jesus, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He has all the wisdom. So if he has all the wisdom, then it isn't anywhere else. It's all in him. It's all in him, but we've got access to it. Not so that, just a little kind of warning here, not so that we walk around as superior know-it-alls, but we walk around as empowered servants. I'm equipped to bless you. You know, not that we say that because they're not going to get that, but we know. I've got the wisdom of God on this for you. You know, boom, here it is. Here's the blessing I've got. Here's the wisdom I've got. Try this. Turn to Matthew 5, chapter 5, verse 13. Okay. And Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. Have you ever stopped and really considered that you're salt? You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It's then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. I want to put it to you this morning that his wisdom makes you salty. Yeah. His wisdom makes you like salt. And God wants to then take us, carriers of his wisdom, and sprinkle us into the world, scatter us into the world. And if you think about what salt does, salt preserves, doesn't it? Salt preserves, I think we've got a slide for that, and it also adds flavor. So God wants us to be salt wherever we go. The one who preserves peace. The one who preserves the right direction. He wants us to bring the flavor of God into our homes, into our workplaces, into our neighborhoods. Remember the floods a few weeks ago? I was chatting to a neighbor of mine about it, and he was just sort of, you know, really concerned about the state of things and giving me all these details about if a field stands underwater for this many weeks, you know, it can't be farmed for this many years. And I was kind of like, flip, you know, that's awful. And I said, you know what, Chris, I'm praying though. I'm praying and I'm believing God to change this. And it's like he'd been slapped around the face with a wet fish. He was like, what? It's just a shock to bring God into conversation, isn't it, at times? Like, what? I wasn't expecting that. It's a bit of a curveball. But we need to do that just to kind of get people to think God is real. It just brings an awareness of God. Salt in your neighborhood. I'm praying. I'm believing in a God who wants to rescue, turn things around for good. Go back, you're probably already there, verse 14. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Jesus is the light in us. His word is the light in us. The people around us are living in darkness. If there's no Jesus, there's no light. If he is the light and they don't have him, there is no light. There's reasoning and natural understanding, but not light. Okay, turn to Isaiah 60 and verse 1. I love these verses. It says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. This is God's word to his people. So this is God's word to us. We are to shine. We're to arise, throw off everything that tries to cover the light and shine. Be a beacon. Not reflect, shine. The light is in us. We're to shine. The people, look at verse 2. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. Deep darkness covers people. Romans 1 says, people will become futile in their thoughts. Futile in their thoughts. Have you had conversations with people and thought, oh my goodness, they got futile thoughts? It's kind of just going nowhere. Or worse still, it's just turning very negative. Futile thoughts and their foolish hearts have become darkened. And this darkness, you know, it causes a mental depression, a heaviness and a feeling of hopelessness and despair. We are the answer. We are the light of the world. We're the solution. We're the lifter of their heads. There you go. We are the light of the world. We are to arise and shine. Not keep that light hidden away. Okay, as it says in Matthew 5, don't put it under a basket. Put it on a lampstand so that everyone can see. Everyone can benefit. You're still in Isaiah 60. Look at verse 3. It's very interesting, this. Okay, we go from the last bit of verse 2. But the Lord will arise over you. His glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. I believe in the go of the gospel. Jesus says, go into all the world, didn't he, and make disciples. But as we go, we need to be salt and light. As you go to work, go. I'm salt and light. You know, we're so aware of ourselves and our natural state. You know, how we feel, and oh, I've got a bit of a scratchy throat today, and did I remember my packed lunch, and, you know. But you know what? I'm salt and light. No matter how I feel or what I look like, I'm salt and light. I am the answer that they need, you know. And the salt and light draws people. Gentiles will be drawn to your light, kings to your brightness. If our heart, like Solomon, is tuned into God, you know, if we've got that listening ear, when we open our mouths, God will fill it with his wisdom. I've said things, I've shot myself. I'd had no intention of saying it. But I just, you know, because I spent a bit of time with the Lord and I tuned my ear in. It's not that I even said what I'd read that morning, but because I've invested, like many of you here, the word in my heart, I've said things and it's popped out and I thought, my goodness, actually, that's what they needed to hear. I kind of didn't think of that or realize that. I just opened my mouth and boom, there you go. It's like silver platter. There you go. That's what you need. You didn't order it, but that's what you need. And, you know, instead of just, you know, I know the whole thing is, of, you know, it's scriptural, cry with those who cry, you know, rejoice with those who are rejoicing and all that. Yes. People need compassion and acts of kindness and all of that, but they really, really need the wisdom of God. Not just any old claptrap. Really, the wisdom of God turns things around. So God's wisdom is salt and light. Light brings new perspective. You know, if you've been in a dark room and you switch... Look, if you stay at somebody's house and you're staying over and you're not familiar with where the furniture is in the room, where the toilet is, you get up in the middle of the night, you bump into things, you know, and it's all a bit awkward and you're not quite sure what's going on. You turn on the light, boom, suddenly you can see and it's like, thank God, there's the bathroom, I was going in the wrong direction. Light, just trying to make it really understandable, light brings new perspective, doesn't it? You couldn't see before, but now you do. Salt preserves from trouble. They taste and see that God is good. So this salt and light, it draws people. There are families out there And they're not coping. They don't know how to do life. They, you know, couples with kids, they have the best intentions, but they're not coping. There's strife in the home. There's, you know, they don't realize that they need to walk in forgiveness. They don't know how to resolve conflict. We're to demonstrate God's ways, you know? Show them this is how things work. This is, if you do this, suddenly things will get easier. You know, we're the ones who are to demonstrate this is how you reign in life, actually. This is how you work for a difficult boss. This is how you overcome difficulties in a relationship. Romans 5 verse 17 says, those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. You need to really kind of meditate on that verse so it hits you, you know. But we've received, through Jesus, we've received a gift of righteousness. We were unrighteous. We've received a gift of righteousness. And we've also received his grace. And it's through him that we can reign in life. Wisdom is a person. It's not a set of principles. It's not a formula. Wisdom is a person. Wisdom is Jesus. So we reign in life, not through our own brilliance, but through the wisdom of God. I think there's a slide for that one too. We reign in life through the wisdom of God, laying down our own ideas and picking up his. So many times we try and figure things out on paper, don't we? I do that too. You know, I've done the pros and cons list over things, you know, and gone onto Google. Well, you know, what's Google saying about this? I'm not against that. I use Google, but at the end of the day, I know that what I need more than anything else is the wisdom of God. I'm not saying don't get informed. Get informed. But then go to prayer and say, Lord, okay, I found this out. What are you saying? Because 2 and 2 doesn't always equal 4. From God's perspective. And what the world says is the way isn't always the way God says is the way. The preparations of the heart belong to man, Proverbs says, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. What I want is his answer. What we need is his answer, his solution. And one thing I've learned in my relationship with the Lord is I need to calm my soul. I need to kind of quieten my soul, like the scripture in Psalm 131, like a weaned child. I need to calm and quieten my soul. Stop pushing for what I want. Get to a place where I can honestly pray, Lord, your will be done. Really, you know what I want, but I lay that down because you've got superior wisdom. You can see ahead. I pray your will be done. And mostly, you know, I hear the Lord when I'm praying. I'm sure many of you will have discovered that. Mostly I hear the Lord when I'm praying, when I'm really pouring out my heart about something to the Lord. And as I'm praying, I'll get an impression or a picture or a scripture. That's the best way. Get it from the Word. It's as we give him time and space to speak that he will. Because he's a good shepherd, but he shepherds with his voice. So it's as you draw near that you'll hear him speak to you about the things that concern you. All the way. In fact, turn to Psalm 85. Let's just look at that a moment. Psalm 85 and verse 8 is a very revealing scripture. It says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints. But let them not turn back to folly. All the way through scripture, wisdom and peace are connected. If you have the wisdom of God, you'll have the peace of God. And so if you lose your peace about something, you need to go back to the Lord and ask him to speak. Verse 8 is a warning. Let them not turn back to folly. Folly is not consulting God. Folly is leaning on your own understanding. And so when we lose peace, it's like the petrol warning light on the car. When that thing starts to go, you know you need to get to a garage. When you lose your peace, it's a warning. You've moved away from the wisdom of God. You need to come back, have a hearing heart, hear an ear, and hear what God is saying. And verse 9 is brilliant. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him. Proverbs says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you fear God, that's just the start of wisdom. The fear of God needs to be operating in our lives so that we have his wisdom. To fear God means you care about what he thinks. You care about his perspective and what he's saying on a situation. So if we listen and act on the wisdom of God, he will save us. He will rescue us. And his glory will be seen on us. Do you remember what the glory of God is? It's kind of a weight, but it's also the goodness of God. His good, as you listen to his wisdom, his goodness will be seen on you. Other people will see the blessing on your life, the goodness of God in your life. And remember Isaiah 60, his glory will be seen upon you and people will be drawn to your light. God wants to position us so that people will see really his wisdom in us. And they'll be drawn. I am drawn to people who reign in life, who have things sorted. I think, okay, you know, really, believers who are doing the word and they're seeing what we know to be true, if they're really seeing it outworked in their lives, it's like, I'm drawn to that. Yeah. Scripture says, mark the upright man, the man who walks in uprightness, his way will be peace. You can see people, when things are working, it's because they're not just listening, they're actually applying what they've heard God tell them to do. And it's not come and see how smart I am. Come and see how smart we are. It's come and see how mended we are. How mended we are from our own brokenness and our own foolishness, our own stupidity. And so people look at our lives and they think, how come things are working out for you? And our answer should be, I've got a good shepherd. I've got a good shepherd and I listen to him. I do what he says, things work. Okay, next slide, please. Matthew 13 says, the kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in a large amount of flour till it worked through all the dough. In this, right, we're the yeast and the world is the flour. We're the yeast that has to be kneaded into the world, into every sector of society. Yeast, what does yeast do? It causes things to rise. Yeast is the agent of change. We need to get mixed and kneaded into every sector of society. God wants his children everywhere. In the government, in the police, in media, in schools, in hospitals, in businesses. Not just to do a great job, but to be that agent of change. Really, to be like yeast everywhere, to be salt and light everywhere. And you don't need me to tell you that not every Christian acts like salt and light. They don't. But Christians who really tune in and hear what God is saying, they act like salt and light wherever they go. When they're listening to his voice, they're seeing things from his perspective so that they can speak and really bring his wisdom into situations. And you know, the wisdom of God is practical, so practical. You know, it's as practical as the pounds in your pocket, the money in your bank, the house that you live in. We are in this building, you are sitting on that chair because the Lord gave us wisdom about the price for this building, the right price to pay. We heard the Lord and praise God, it worked. But God wants to speak into every practical area. He wants to speak to you about your job. He wants to speak to you about raising your toddler, raising your teenager. You know, he wants to speak into every situation so that it will bring life and peace. Remember, the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Life and peace. Just say life and peace. Doesn't that sound good? Life and peace. It's the will of God for us. Not presumed wisdom, but because we get his wisdom each day. Lord, what are you saying? What are you saying about this? And he's a redeemer. He's a fixer. Where we've made mistakes, he can sort them. As long as we come to him in humility and repent of anything we need to repent of and then say, Lord, I really need your wisdom to get out of debt. I really need your wisdom to solve this health problem. I really need your wisdom to sort this relationship problem. We need to value our wonderful counselor, don't we? Not ignore him. I find it amazing and humbling that God wants to speak to me about anything and everything if I'm just willing to listen. And his wisdom means that we reign in life, really. And that we are salt and light in this world, a real beacon for others. He wants a transformed people. As a church, Kingdom Faith Southwest, he wants us to be transformed because we listen and act on what he says. And then he can scatter us like salt in the world to be an example, to be a different voice, not through our own cleverness, but through really leaning on him, listening to that inner voice. Often it's a quiet voice. This is the way, walk in it. So many voices compete for our attention. We need to just, that's why Jesus said, go away, go into your room and pray to your Heavenly Father. You need to quieten all the other voices and just listen. Lord, okay, here I am. What are you saying? You know, and read his word. If you say, I don't know what the word of God is, I don't know what he's saying, it's in your house every day because it's right here. Just start to read. Give God an opportunity to speak to you through his word. Your family needs the wisdom of God. Your workplace needs the wisdom of God. Your work colleagues need the wisdom of God. Holy Spirit downloads that will bring new thoughts and order and relief. It really brings relief, doesn't it, when we get the wisdom of God. I'm going to finish with Mark chapter 4, if you just turn there. Thank you, Lord, for your wisdom. We want more of it. We really need you. Mark chapter 4 and verse 30. Then he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? With what parable shall we picture it? It's like a mustard seed, which when it's sown into the ground is smaller than all the seeds on the earth. To your natural mind, God's ways look small, insignificant, okay? But if you sow it, when it's grown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. We are to provide shelter and shade for the world. They don't have any protection from the enemy or their own stupidity. We're to provide a shade and a shelter. People need to discover, he'll help me. She'll help me. I'm not talking about humanitarian stuff, although there is a place for that. But I'm talking about providing stuff that no other organization or charity can. And that is the power of God. Answer to prayer, a demonstration of the supernatural power of God. And also the wisdom of God, light in the darkness. That healing balm that can solve anything. So the world needs wisdom. We need wisdom. And as the catchphrase says, don't leave home without it. Really, it's kind of stuck with me that has. I don't want to open my front door and go out into my day without having God's thoughts and God's perspective on the day ahead. Okay, let's stand. I know there's probably quite a lot to take on board, but hopefully it's been quite a simple message this morning. I want you just to think about the rest of your year. We're in April already. Can you believe it? Okay, we've got a few months still till the end of the year. But just think about the rest of your year. And if you could see into the future, your future, like God can, you would run to him immediately and say, Lord, show me. What should I do today that's going to stop that happening in September or July? What should I be doing now that's going to open up that, cause that to happen? You know, the wisdom of God, Proverbs says, the wisdom of God preserves us. And the wisdom of God also prospers us. It says it's better than gold, better than rubies. It prospers us financially, but it also prospers our soul. Remember, wisdom and peace are connected. If you have the wisdom of God, you have the peace of God. He who gets wisdom, Scripture says, loves his own soul. If you really love yourself, get the wisdom of God, because gosh, you need it. We need the wisdom of God. I'm just going to read a scripture to you. You can turn there if you want and read it with me. It's James chapter 1 and verse 5. Well, you don't have to do it. I'll read it. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, without a kind of sense of disappointment or disapproval, and it will be given to him. God gives liberally with no kind of, you know, look, you idiot, you should have come last year for this. None of that. It's just like, praise God, you know, praise me, you're here. I want to give you wisdom, okay? So I'm just going to ask you, God is here. Let's close our eyes and ask for wisdom. We need to humble ourselves. It's the only way to receive anything from God. But if you want to be wise, just humble yourself and ask him. Ask him to teach you his ways. Ask him to show you things from his perspective and give you his thoughts. Thank you, Lord.